How much do you know about Catholicism? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week you're starting to really be upset with people because they've been getting on your nerves, they've been whining, they've been asking to do things that they should be able to do for themselves, people are just really irritating you a lot today, would you please remember the words from the musical Les Miserables? One of the last songs in Les Miserables has the line in it, "To love another person is to see the face of God." That's what we're called to do. Jesus says what we do to the least of our brothers and sisters, we do to Jesus. We have to become what I call domestic mystics in recognizing the face of God in other people, to let Jesus break out of their lives by the way we care for them, love them, forgive them, serve them. Easy? No. I don't want to give the impression I think it's easy. But with God, all things are possible. You know what I want to do on Thursdays during this year? I want to share with you information about your faith, both as a Christian and if you're a Catholic. Because a lot of people, in some ways, are illiterate when it comes to their faith. They may be practicing trying to be a Catholic Christian, but they might not be able to have sufficient information to deal with questions, to deal with the challenges. Sometimes people have a great misunderstanding about Catholicism, and we are called to really help people so they don't give in to the misunderstanding or prejudice, whatever struggle there is. We're called to be informed, to have a good informed conscience. So the very first piece of information I want to share with you to help you understand your faith is the Catholic Church's position on war. I want to call it the just war doctrine. It used to be called the just war theory. But you know, we're always going to have wars. Unfortunately, one of the effects of original sin that is very damaging is that we have this proclivity to violence. Especially men. We're going to have war, unfortunately. A lot of people struggle to understand when we should go to war, how should we defend our country, what's the best way to defend ourselves, our family, our loved ones. So there's big wars, little wars, but you know, these days we have the weapons now to destroy the world. So I think it would be important for us to be knowledgeable about what our church teaches when it comes to war. Let me share it with you, okay? Catholicism has a long tradition of discerning what was used to be called a just war theory, which says that all things being equal, the state has a right to wage war, just like it has a right to use capital punishment. However, just like capital punishment, the right to wage war is not an absolute right. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great scholar who lived from 1226 to 1274, developed a theory first proposed by St. Augustine, who lived from 354 to 430, he developed that theory into what is called a just war theory. Its basis is the natural moral law. Natural moral law is what God wove into us, so we should understand very easily what God wants us to do to do good and avoid evil. And this war, just war theory, incorporates a moral evaluation before going to war. In other words, the reasons for going to war. In doing it, what is the correct means used? Everything leading up to war and every act during it must fulfill the criterion listed due to the seriousness of the actions. Otherwise, it's judged to be an immoral war. So the church stand is that, in theory, war is justified at times, and a just war can be waged. And the church believes that throughout history, some wars were morally right, but many wars could have and should have been avoided. So I think it might be more accurate, instead of calling it the just war theory, to call it the just war doctrine. Because theories are ideas not yet proven, and we've had a lot of wars that should have taught us many things. The doctrine uses the natural moral law as a litmus test, so its premises and conclusions are sound and morally binding. The just war doctrine can be broken down into two components. Jus ad bellum, which is Latin for right to war, or moral reasons that justify a country's going to war, and jus in bello, Latin for right in war, or moral conduct during war. These two components are further elaborated in this way. Before war, we have to identify, is there a just cause? Who's the competent authority? Is there comparable justice? What, do we have the right intention? Is it the last resort? What's the probability of success? And what's the proportionality? You know, the amount of damage inflicted is going to be much worse than any good that would come out of it. Now, during the war, we again ask the question about proportionality, but we have to talk about discrimination of non-combatants. Let's go into these points a little more deeply. For war to be morally permissible, the reasons for going to war must be morally correct. One example of a just cause is repel invading enemy forces, which are considered unjust aggressors. Imperial Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor was sufficient reason to go to war because the enemy was in the process of making an attack on the United States. Another moral and just cause for going to war is to rescue or assist an ally who was attacked by an unjust aggressor, as Great Britain did in World War II when Poland was invaded by Nazi Germany. Removing or repelling an invading aggressor are sufficient reasons to go to war. Gaining new territory, financial and political superiority, however, are not good reasons. Just causes for war are morally acceptable reasons to use this last resort to end the conflict. That means that alternative measures must have been already tried and failed. Foremost of necessary attempts of peaceful resolution is diplomacy. Political and economic pressure to prevent or avoid war are preferred as long as human rights are not sacrificed as a consequence of the agreements made between nations. If citizens are captured, property seized, land is occupied, or allies are being attacked or invaded, the church believes that going to war is justified. Defending or protecting lives and territory is considered a just cause, but aggression, revenge, or economic, political, or territorial gain is considered an immoral or unjust cause. Competent authority. Morally speaking, only legitimate, authentic, and authorized leaders can declare and involve the nation in war. Comparative justice. Are the values at stake worth the loss of life, the wounding of others, the risk of innocent victims, and damage to property sufficiently obvious? Next, right intention. Morally acceptable reasons for going to war are a just cause, such as the stopping of an unjust aggressor, having the goal of restoring peace rather than seeking revenge, retaliation, or total destruction of the enemy without any possibility of surrender. Last resort. Morally speaking, all viable alternatives must be exhausted before resorting to war. This includes, but isn't limited to, diplomatic dialogue and debate, quarantine, blockade, sanctions, economics, negotiation, mediation, arbitration, political and public pressure, and sufficient warning. Going to war should not be the first step, but the last one. All peaceful attempts must be tried. However, a country cannot allow the unjust aggressor who has invaded time to regroup and strike again. Probability of success is another point. A just war demands that the hope of winning the war is reasonable. Fighting just to make or prove a point, or merely defending honor when enemy forces are vastly superior in number, ammunition, or resources is foolish. Sacrificing troops and endangering citizens unnecessarily is irresponsible. Proportionality. The evils and suffering that result from war must be proportionately less or smaller than the evils or suffering which would have ensued had there been no conflict. Proportionality during war. A just war uses moral means during the execution of the war. Biological weapons are considered immoral because they disproportionately harm more people and in more severity than is necessary for victory. Furthermore, German biological weapons of mass destruction are intrinsically evil because there is little control over the chance of harming innocent non-combatants. Tactical nuclear weapons are only permissible if employed as a last resort, and there are no other means to deter the aggressor, and there's a significant accuracy in control to target only valid sites. Conventional weapons, troops, and tactics should first be tried. Now here's the last point. Discrimination of non-combatants during the war. The last criterion for a just war is that collateral damage must be kept to an absolute bare minimum. Military and strategic targets are the only morally permissible sites for attack. Civilian population centers in any place where non-combatants reside should not be targeted. Terror bombing of civilians, for example, is immoral. Now here comes the rub. The old distinction between military and civilian no longer applies because not all combatants wear uniforms. Guerrilla warfare that uses both military and civilian forces is common these days. So now, the distinction is made between combatants, those who carry and use firearms or weapons, and non-combatants, those who don't. Well, this is a heavy topic, isn't it? And we all have to grapple with it. Because, as I said at the beginning of the program, there's going to be wars, unfortunately. And we need to pray that they come to an end, or they don't start. We need to pray for that our country will be kept safe from harm. But there's going to be war, and people in authority must have some type of doctrine to justify going to war. And I think the points that I share with you are good. Okay. Now, let me share with you today's food for thought. There is nothing more beautiful than cheerfulness in an old face. That was written by Jean Paul Richter, and you know that's true. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for orthopedic specialist, okay? The surgery can relieve great pressure on the nerves and allow people to live life again, or give them new knees or new hips. They do wonderful jobs. Please pray for orthopedic specialists. Now, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. All week long, I've been sharing you with Adam and Eve jokes. Here's the next one. You know, Adam had one good thing going for him. When he said something, he knew nobody had said it before. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you that you're enjoying the program, what you like about it. Let me send me your prayer intentions. I promise I'll take them to prayer. Send me a check to help me keep my hospital for the poor open. Mexico and Oaxaca, make the check to TASH, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.